You're listening to Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. We're continuing our COVID Earner series, where we speak with businesses owned and operated by people of color who are reimagining our city's future during the pandemic. When you think about vegan food, maybe bland raw vegetables or fruit comes to mind. But the owners of Royally Vegan disagree. Tylisha King opened Royally Vegan with her husband, Jalil King. About 5 years ago, Jalil was experiencing health issues that affected his day-to-day life, so he decided to try eating vegan. Since then, their lives have changed, and they're hoping to raise awareness on the potential positive impact that going vegan can have without giving up flavor. Tylisha King spoke with Lake Effect's Mallory Chang about the business and how they got to meet an unlikely client.
You and your husband, Jalil, went vegan almost 5 years ago when your husband, Jalil, was experiencing health issues. Why make the initial transition to eat vegan at that time?
When he was going through the health issues, he was having a lot of nose bleeding and randomly fainting. And a lot of that was happening either late at night when he was sleeping or while he was on the road going to or from work. And the doctors gave him a heart monitor for a month. And during that time, they did not catch any like bad things happening, even though he was going through episodes while he was wearing that. So the doctors pretty much did not know what to do for him. So he did some further investigations and started researching himself. And he realized that, hey, maybe I should cut back on meat and dairy and see how, you know, if anything changes. And once he saw that documentary on Netflix called What the Health, he was like, you know what? Yes, let's change our diet to vegan and see how it's going to be. And within just 6 months of him changing his diet, everything that he was experiencing like came to a stop.
Oh, wow. That's such a big transition. And I'm wondering, too, from your perspective, Tylisha, what was that like to make that transition to eat vegan for you? What was the hardest part?
Well, I think it definitely was more rough for me. I love hot Cheetos and sour cream and steak. Like every time I went to any restaurant, I was always getting steak and potatoes. You know, I'm usually the one that cooks majority of the time for like dinner. So I was like, well, I don't want to cook two different dinners. So, hey, let me try this vegan diet with you. But it definitely was rough. The first year or two was definitely like we called those our struggle years, just because we didn't know exactly how to recreate our old childhood things that we liked that our moms and grandmothers made. So the flavors and everything wasn't really there yet. It really took us some years to really figure out how to execute that again.
That's so funny that you call it your struggle years. Generally speaking, when hearing the word vegan, I think of bland vegetables. And specifically, I think of it as a very white-centered thing that it doesn't really connect to the unique flavors or food cultures that is connected to my own personal identity. And you just touched on that a little bit about how the struggle years in recreating those flavors that your mothers and your grandmothers created. And some of your meals look like meat. Like you have meatless meatballs and you also have barbecue shredded jackfruit that looks like pulled pork. I wouldn't have known that was shredded jackfruit from initially looking at it. What are some common misconceptions that most people have about going vegan that you've heard, and how have you been able to connect the unique flavors into the vegan dishes that you all make?
In the beginning, when we told everyone that we were cutting back on the meat and dairy and fish and everything like that, yes, a lot of our family members did say the my opinion, I call it the closed-minded statement of, oh, that's a white person diet. You know, how are you going to eat a meal without chicken or something like that? And with us in the beginning, yes, we did not know how to execute those flavors. We had to really do a lot of research and figure out that there's other seasonings that can help out that's vegan friendly that will add that flavor, or there's some like a vegan stock that has beef flavors or chicken flavors to bring in that, or like liquid smoke. So we found out some secret ingredients that help us to still get that same flavor. But it definitely was rough. People started like not inviting us to family get-togethers because they were confused of what to, you know, add for the menu for the get together because they didn't understand what we ate. So if we ever went to a holiday party at a family house, they'd say, oh yeah, we got a bowl of fruit for you, or we got salad for you. So a lot of people thought we were really just eating salad. And it took them a while. Like, I feel like now, like the last couple of years, they actually, now they understand more of what we eat. And now they're more open to try our stuff.
That's so not satisfying at holiday dinners when everyone's having a full course meal and you get stuck with a bowl of fruit or a piece of bread.
Yes.
And like what you mentioned with yourself and with your husband, there's definitely health benefits to it. Why did you decide to start a vegan food business specifically, especially during a pandemic?
When we started being vegan, that was in 2016. Every time, even during those first 2 years, those struggle years, I still was posting, you know, photos of what I was cooking for breakfast or for dinner for us. And just throughout the years, just people, it was a grown interest from my family, friends on social media. Asking me, oh, how did you make it? Oh, that doesn't look vegan. And with me posting those things, a lot of people were more open and willing to try vegan just because they saw, oh, you know, I know someone that I know pretty close and she's doing it pretty good and it looks good. But during the pandemic time, like the year 2020, that's when it was really hard. Like it was cut hours at work, losing jobs because of the pandemic. So Really Vegan really started to help us with money issues. But once we realized the number of people that were actually supporting us and the increase of orders every time we did a pop-up sale, we realized like, hey, this is not just, you know, a side job just to pay the bills. This is actually becoming a career, and we just fell in love with it.
You also had a catering gig for the singer and actor Omarion.
Yes.
How did you land that gig? What was that like to be working backstage like that?
Oh my God. Well, first off, when I first got the message on Instagram, when I first read it, I was like, is this real? Is this true? Like, I knew he did have a vegetarian diet, but it just seemed pretty unreal when I read the message. So I had to do my own research, like, hey, is this lady really from his Omarion Worldwide team? And once I got that confirmation, I instantly started screaming because, you know, I'm a huge Omarion fan ever since he was in the group B2K. So as soon as I realized that was a legit, you know, opportunity, I jumped right on it. They wanted to try our vegan soul food. That is actually one of the things that we are known for. So we did make the barbecue meatballs. One of the vegan meats we like to use is Impossible. So we make our meatballs. We had baked mac and cheese, mashed potatoes. We had dressing, cabbage, cornbread, the whole little thing that you will get at like a Thanksgiving meal. I was happy. And with me making that for him and his team in exchange, we got free tickets for the concert that he had in Milwaukee.
With meeting Omarion and meeting other people, especially other people of color who are plant-based, how are you challenging those ideas that going vegan isn't just a white person thing? How are you challenging those ideas through Royally Vegan?
A lot of people, I feel like when they think of the vegan diet and they think of actual some food items, they really think of like tofu and vegetables. And I feel like with Really Vegan, we first off don't use tofu. I personally don't like it. But I just feel like to really showcase to the community that having a vegan diet is not just a white person thing, to just show them, hey, here's a childhood thing that you loved when you grew up. But hey, it doesn't have these ingredients, but it has all these great health benefits for you. So with us being known for our soul food, I feel that really helped with the Black community because I feel like they were more open to try it just because it looks and smells like what they're used to. And then once they try the vegan soul food, that's when they're more open to try our other things like our barbecue jackfruit or our cinnamon rolls.
Now I'm getting hungry listening to all the foods that you're listing. And the pandemic has really pushed us all to rethink what our futures could look like and what our city's future could look like. What are you hoping to reimagine in Milwaukee through Royally Vegan?
I feel like the existence of veganism is not that strong in Milwaukee. So that's always our main, like, number one goal, is to just educate the community more that, you know, there is some vegan options here, and it's not just your standard tofu sandwich or anything like that. But we definitely, we just like, yeah, just want to educate the community, really. I definitely would say that Really Vegan is that comfort food place that is great for the entire family. But I feel like one of the reasons why we continued with Really Vegan is because throughout this year of us just having Really Vegan, we've heard so many stories from our customers on how we impact them on switching over their diet. So just hearing stories like that, it really, you know, my pen really like put a tear to my eye, because not only did the vegan diet help my husband, but it's also helping other people.
Tylisha King is one of the owners and founders of Royally Vegan. She spoke with LikeFacts' Mallory Chang. You can learn more about Royally Vegan and other COVID earner stories at WUWM.com. You can hear more interviews like this one by visiting the LikeFacts page at WUWM.com.